Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Welcome. I'm Heather Choate. I'm the co-owner here of High Thrive Coaching. I'm super grateful and excited to be here with you today. My partner, Mark Johnston, is recovering from COVID, so we appreciate your prayers. He is doing much better, so we're grateful for that. And his son is now ill today, so he's taking care of him. So you have me solo yet again. Thank you for your patience. I know how much you guys love to hear from Mark. I love to have him on here. He just brings so much wisdom and incredible insights and, you know, absolute results for you guys. But I hope that I'm able to serve you powerfully today as well. All right, so today we're talking about how to end an affair in 3 weeks or less. That is a bold statement, right? And I'm gonna show you how I can make such a bold statement here in a little bit. And this is especially for those whose partner, their spouse, is having an affair and you're wanting to figure out how to end it and how to move forward, okay? Before I get to that though, I'm gonna share our client win of the week. This one is anonymous and she says, wins. My husband has actually said that he has enjoyed spending time together and that he has gone out of his way to spend more time with me. This is the first positive thing he has said about us in 4 months since he left. Now I want to highlight a couple things here. In the PATH process that Mark and I teach, that we've created and that works, that we teach that no one else is talking about, right? We look for a couple different markers there. And one of the first markers we're looking for is the pause. Now this client is talking about how their spouse went from leaving them, not saying anything positive for about 4 months, right? To now wanting to spend time together and saying nice things, right? And it doesn't just go from your spouse leaving and not saying anything positive to you to all of a sudden wanting to spend time with you and saying positive things to you. No, I'm gonna pull back the curtain here and show you about the power of the first milestone that this client experienced, and that it's the first milestone that we look for as we work with you in your relationship as well. And the first milestone is that pause button. I just talked about this in a masterclass last week, if you guys had the opportunity to join that. But the pause button is when your spouse is no longer pulling further away. They're no longer running further from you. They're no longer pushing more towards divorce. They're no longer, you know, leaning more towards being with someone else than you, and they hit that pause button. And that pause button is powerful. There is power in the pause. And this client, their husband, hit the pause button. And then we go to the next milestone, which is increasing understanding, increasing validation, increasing empathy, and gaining perspective for what your spouse is experiencing. And as you do that, that then opens the door for communication, the door for connection, the door for attraction, and then we have the opportunity that they're going to want to spend more time with you. And I love that she says, gone out of his way to spend more time with me. And we often see that happen, and it's a really fun and beautiful thing to experience. And she's not done yet. That's why we also have the last step, which is to, you know, completely get rid of their narrative about why they wanted out, and why they wanted to separate, and why they weren't happy. And so then when they completely let that story about you go, then they want to give you their heart fully again. And that's exactly where she's at, which is super exciting. So awesome, awesome wins. And that's the PATH process in a nutshell. So those milestones, if you haven't hit one of those or two of those or three of those or all four of those, that's why we do what we do, to help you get there with the proven system to do it. All right. Now, I asked you guys over in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, and I see some of you watching me live. Hello, thank you. And again, let me know if you can see and hear me okay, just to make sure all the tech is working. I really appreciate it. And let me know where you're joining from today, any questions that you might have, any aha moments you might have. Leave a comment, let me know where you're at. I do check the comments, and I'll try to answer questions if there's time live with you guys. If you're watching the replay, again, always leave a comment. We do check those and get back to you as well. All right, so over in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group, which I just logged in and checked, it has 39,900 members right now. Woo! That is incredible. That is so awesome. We're almost at 40K It is a powerful community of like-minded people really working to have a healthy, thriving marriage. So super awesome. So I asked you guys over there, fill in the blank. To stop the affair in my marriage, I think I need... What did you guys answer? What do you think you need? Fill in the blank with me right now. Leave a comment if you're watching live or put it down below if you're watching the replay. What do you think you need to end an affair, to stop an affair? Is this something we're taught? Is it modeled in our culture? What do you think? All right, some people say, I don't know. I have no clue. I'm honestly just trying to figure that out. I really don't know. Some of you said you end it by leaving. You end it by divorce. You end it by kicking them out. You know, an affair is a deal breaker for me. It's over, right? Some of you said that, and that's where you're at. And then some of you talked about how you need God or you need prayers. You said a glass of gin, which made me laugh, to kick someone's butt. I need the other person to die. I need to be the more attractive option. I need to lose weight. I'm seeing a really funny one here, a time machine, which I really liked. And then some of you talked about to find out what the real problem is, what their narrative is, and work on changing that if it's something that you can work through and accept. And then some of you guys talked about, well, I can't really get them to end the affair if they're not even really talking to me. So we need to have communication. So I appreciate all of your answers there. That's really, really awesome to see where you're at. And the bottom line is that to a lot of people, an affair is a deal breaker, right? It's they're not willing to work on the marriage after that, or they think there's nothing that they can really do. And if that's where you're at, that is your choice, right? What I've seen and what Mark and I've seen is that there is a huge opportunity to really learn and to grow and to become a better person, even going through something as heart-wrenching as broken trust and an affair. And how can I make such a bold statement that you could end an affair in 3 weeks or less, right? And I want to paint the picture here for everyone who's saying, you know, yeah, this is really hard. This is really painful, but something inside me says, I want to figure this out. I want to become a better person. I don't want to go into another relationship and be cheated on again. I want to be able to work things out with this partner, this spouse, because I love them and I want it to work for our family. So if that's you, then this is for you. All right. So how can I make such a bold statement? Well, if you've been following us for any amount of time, you know that High Thrive Coaching has helped tens of thousands of students around the world. We've been doing this a long time. And after working with thousands of couples specifically that have gone through affairs, I'd say it's about 45, maybe even 50% of our clients are dealing with affairs. I can stand by this because it's not just me pulling this out of a hat. It's not just a fancy marketing technique or gimmick. It's not a magic wand. It's not some, you know, hack, but this is actual data. We can stand by this because we actually have proof and data and results to show that we've done this so many times that we can say, yeah, this works. And I like to be a person of integrity, right? That what I say, I mean. And so when I say that you can end an affair in 3 weeks or less, I mean it. And I mean it because I've seen it so many times, all right? So I'm about to share with you what has helped those clients that have ended the affair in 3 weeks or less with this method, how they overcame the challenges, how they overcame the heartbreak, how they healed fully. And no, you have not heard this from your therapist, most likely your pastor, your favorite YouTuber, because no one else even knows about it. All right. Before I get into that, though, I want to check in with you. I want to know, what have you already done to try and solve this? So let me know in the chat. Let me know in the comments. I haven't seen any yet, but maybe my connection's lagging a little bit. So let me know. Have you tried therapy? Have you tried counseling? And you're saying, Heather, we've been working on this for months, weeks, maybe even years, and we haven't gotten anywhere. So why do you think that you can come in and turn this thing around in 3 weeks or less? If my therapist that I'm going to is a professional and they can't do it, then how could you make such a bold claim, right? Maybe you're thinking that, right? And the bottom line is that therapy and counseling can often solve many things, but in the cases of affairs and a spouse really wanting out, being completely checked out, it either simply takes too long for the process to resolve itself and you just don't have time on your side, or what they're saying is ineffective and it may even be backfiring, okay? We've seen all different things across the spectrum as far as that goes, but more often than not, it's not really the solution to get your spouse back. and to end an affair. If it were, it would have worked already, right? There's a lot of people going to therapy. There's a lot of people in counseling. And if that was the solution, then everyone would have a great marriage that's doing that, right? And the bottom line is they don't. How about going to your pastor, talking to your friends, to your family, looking to them for advice, seeing what they would do? How many of you guys are doing that? Let me know. What about the YouTube videos, going to your favorite tuber, right? Listening to the supposed guru, self-help books. I've read The Love Dare like 4 or 5 times. I've read Love Languages a couple times, and I will read something and it will seem to make a lot of sense. I'll say, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I should try that. And I will go and try that. And A, it will be completely ineffective because it's not what's actually needed for my situation. Or B, it might actually backfire. I've had that experience as well, where what I thought, like doing all the service, like in the Love Dare, doing all the service, it just was not reaching him at all. And the love language thing was just surface. It wasn't deep enough to solve what was actually going on with us. Okay, what about trying to do it yourself, trying to work on yourself? We talk about that a lot the last, I don't know, year and a half or something, because everyone out there is saying, if you want to have a healthy relationship, you need to work on yourself. And I get where that's coming from because we can only control ourselves. But I want you guys to lean in here. If you think that working on yourself is the end all be all solution for saving your marriage, then why isn't your marriage already saved? Right? Like, I'm here to give it to you really real and really straight, right? Like, working on ourselves is good for us, and it's always good to grow and become a better person. We're all about that. You know I am. But if in and of itself it was the solution to save your marriage, then everyone that was working on themselves, which is almost everyone, is working on themselves in some way, like trying to improve themselves, everyone would have a great marriage. And so the reality is that in and of itself, it's not the solution. So do you guys want to know why those just haven't worked for you so far, and why all of your requests to try to save, you know, the marriage and end this affair, and all of your demands and all of your pleading, or even your flat out like manipulating or your threats, right? Or your begging or your desperation, all of those things have not worked for you, right? So let's dive into that. But before I do that, I also want you guys just to really think about where you would love your relationship to be 3 months from now, okay? 3 months from now, just like our client was talking about, 3, 4 months, 6 months from now, where would you really love your relationship to be? Would you love them, you know, it to be like our client talked about here, where your spouse wants to spend time with you, where they're actually creating excuses to spend more time with you, where they're actually talking positively and respectfully to you? Would you love for the affair to end and you guys be healing and restoring the trust, and where you both feel safe and secure? Where would you love to be a year from now, 10 years from now? How would you like to look back on this time in your life at the end of your life? Do you want to look back on it with peace of mind that you did everything that you could and that you became a better person, that you didn't just go through this awful, hellish challenge, but you grew through it, right? That's kind of like a little fancy saying I came up with the other day. I don't know if I'm the only one who came up with it, but it just kind of came out. Probably not. Probably someone a lot smarter came up with it before I did. But, you know, it's true. We can go through something or we can grow through something. And there's some interesting statistics I looked up on psychology today about affairs. And it, you know, there's that saying like once a cheater, always a cheater, right? But the bottom line is that, yeah, there is some truth to that. If you are a cheater, you're 3 times more likely to cheat again. But the interesting thing is that the reverse is also true. If you've been cheated on, then you're three times more likely to be cheated on again in the future. Weird, right? Like, so there's some underlying stuff going on here. And yeah, it's not necessarily like, I'm not putting all the blame on you that this is happening, because, you know, they do have their choice and they are responsible for their unhealthy actions and behaviors and the choices that they're making. And so that's an interesting thing, right? But there's stuff that goes on inside of us, and cycles tend to repeat themselves because we have subconscious beliefs and subconscious programming and a way of looking at the world that tends to create the same circumstance again and again and again. I'm sure you can look at other relationships and you can see it. You can see that someone gets out of an abusive relationship and they go right back into another one. You can see that your friend, you know, maybe even cheated on in their first marriage and now they're being cheated on in their second marriage. You can see that these cycles tend to repeat themselves. Why? Well, we need to go deep to really find out why, okay? And that's what we do here, as we help you uncover what's really going on here with all of this programming so these unhealthy cycles and patterns don't continue to repeat themselves, okay? So, how do our clients successfully heal from an affair? How do they have a thriving marriage no matter what, where they don't just survive these challenges, survive these difficulties, but they truly thrive? And how do we succeed and our clients succeed? And you guys can go and check out like the flood of absolute success stories that are just pouring in constantly. How do they succeed? Whereas in other programs or even in therapy or do-it-yourself methods, the attempts fail. All right. So I'm going to share with you guys the four proven steps our clients take to end an affair in 3 weeks or less. And it works even if your spouse wants a divorce, even if they say, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, even if they say, I'm in love with someone else, or if they're just unwilling to work on it with you and they're unwilling to change. They're unwilling to end the affair at this point, okay? Step one is our root assessment, okay? Most people miss this step completely, and that's a huge mistake and why most couples, they never recover from an affair. So in the root assessment, what is this? This is where we, as marriage experts that work with divorce and affairs every single day, day in and day out, it's the only thing we do, it's the only thing we focus on. We do this every single day, right? We're the ICU for marriages. We scientifically assess your marriage and we determine what those root issues and perceptions are behind their story or behind why they're having this affair, behind why these cycles keep showing up for you. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again because it's true. When you're in the bottle, you can't read the label. You can't read the label when you're in the bottle. So you need an expert that knows how to read the label and how to understand the label properly to diagnose and assess exactly what's going on in the relationship. Why these cycles keep showing up for you. Why this is happening in the first place. Why your spouse is driven to break your trust and break promises and go to someone else to get needs met, right? So here's the kicker, right? Most of us, we can guess probably at one or two of what these root issues are. But unless we unearth all of them, and there's typically three or four, there's usually one or two that we're completely unaware of. We have no idea that our spouse is thinking this way. We have no idea that they're feeling this way. In fact, looking at ourselves, we probably aren't even aware of these root issues that are going on inside of us that are causing these things to happen in our relationships. And so what we need to do is unearth all three or four of these root issues, or you will not likely heal from the affair. You won't understand what's really driving them. So I want to see if this is true about you. Ask yourself, have I ever been blindsided by my spouse? Did I have any clue that this affair was even going on? Did it totally shock me? Did it totally surprise me? Maybe you thought everything was going great in the relationship and you had no clue that this was really going on and it totally surprised you. Or maybe you're just thinking, I have no idea how they could think this about me. I have no idea why they're doing what they're doing. Where did the person I married go? Who is this stranger? And where did the person I married go? Where is the person that I love? This is not who I married, right? If you're thinking any of those things, then this is a clear indication that there are root issues going on inside of them, their spouse, inside of you, and inside of the relationship that you're unaware of. And it's okay, because you're all are in the bottle and you need the expert to read the label. And so that's exactly what we do in the root assessment. We also, in the root assessment, go into and determine, you know, which of the two categories your relationship falls into. Because with an affair, there's usually one or two of these categories that you're going to fall into, okay? The first category is that you have broken trust with your spouse, but they are committed and willing to work on things. Now, that's probably not going to be the majority of you here, right? Second category is broken trust without your spouse's commitment and willing to work on things, okay? And we're gonna handle those two different situations in very different ways. It's not a cookie cutter approach, right? The way that we handle it, if your spouse is willing or even somewhat willing, maybe they're doing that teeter-totter effect of I wanna be with you, no, I wanna be with the other person, maybe I wanna make this relationship work, no, I don't, I'm completely out, that teeter-totter effect, that's very different than someone that says, no, I'm unwilling to work on this with you, I'm in love with someone else, I don't wanna be with you, I want a divorce, it's over, right? So it's important that we assess exactly what's going on there. And another element of step one with the root assessment is getting your marriage health score, okay? You might not have ever heard of that before, but it's vital in order to understand what's really going on in the relationship. So just like you go to a doctor to get a checkup, maybe take your temperature or check your heart rate and your blood pressure and all those things, they give you kind of this health score to see how healthy you are. They measure your cholesterol, right? And that's a marker to see what's going on inside of your body. So just like that, our marriage health score is a marker or an indication. It's a tool that we use to see how healthy your relationship really is. And we need to determine, is your relationship strong enough yet to go to step two, which I'm gonna talk about in a minute, right? Or if we need to build up some health and some strength in the relationship first, okay? So one of the big problems that I see and huge mistakes that I see is that people with a low marriage health score, they do not have a relationship that is very strong or healthy, is that they make the mistake of trying to resolve deep issues too soon. And that's what most therapists and most people try to do. And I get that it makes sense on a certain level because you're like, well, if I just resolve the root issue about why they want to go to this other person for emotional connection or physical connection, or because that person makes them feel important or makes them feel on cloud nine or whatever, right? Then I'll just try to resolve that thing and then they'll want to come back to me. And that's what therapists do a lot. Like you sit down and they're like, okay, let's go into the deep issues and what happened here in your childhood and where's this coming from? And we got to resolve this thing. Well, that's like a medical patient, right? That has a brain tumor. I think I've used this analogy before, but stay with me, right? It's important to really pay attention to where you might be doing this in your relationship, right? So the brain tumor is like this root issue, right? That it does need to be resolved. Like you can't just live with an active cancerous brain tumor, right? And you do need surgery. That thing needs to come out. Like these root issues between you and your spouse, they need to come out and they need to be healed and they need to be resolved. But say the patient has this brain tumor and they come into the ER and they're in cardiac arrest. Right? The doctor's not going to perform surgery on the brain tumor in the patient if they're in heart failure, because the patient most likely won't survive the procedure, right? What are they going to do first? They're going to stabilize that patient. They're going to get them out of cardiac arrest and get them healthy and strong enough to handle the surgery successfully. So in the same way, I'm going to do it a different way. I can't say the similarly word. In the same way, your marriage, it just may not be strong enough right now to address the deeper root issues, okay? That's why the root assessment is so vital, because we don't want to destroy an already fragile relationship by solving problems out of order. So lean into that for a minute, okay? I know that can be hard to hear because you want to resolve the root issues. You want to do everything to get them back. But if you're pushing for it and your relationship isn't strong enough, it's only going to push them further away and it's going to crumble what bit of the relationship you have left. Okay? So be really mindful of that and be mindful of any therapist or any well-meaning person that just doesn't know this, that is pushing you to try to solve these things if your relationship isn't strong enough yet, okay? All right, so we also uncover in step one how you may unintentionally be pushing your spouse further away, or what you may be doing that is actually backfiring and you don't even realize it. Again, I hear so many of you guys. I talk to you here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. I talk to you guys over on YouTube. I email you guys. I chat with you. I work with clients all the time. And I hear how much you want this relationship to work and how you feel like you're doing everything that you can to solve this. And it breaks my heart because so many times I'm talking to you guys and you have no clue that what you're doing is actually backfiring. It's completely ineffective. And I really don't want that from you, okay? So as you do the root score, then we're able to see if your marriage is healthy enough and strong enough to go on to step two, okay? What is step two? When your marriage is healthy and strong enough and it's not in cardiac arrest anymore, but we've built in some stability, we've helped your spouse hit that pause button so they're no longer fleeing to the other person in the case of an affair, right? Now we go to step two, which is addressing the major concerns that created the affair, all right? And I got this directly from Mark, so I'm going to go ahead and just say in his own words exactly what he would have said if he's here, okay? So your ability to ask for the affair to end depends on how much the cheating partner wants to maintain the marriage. If there are huge problems in the marriage, then you requesting the affair to end without addressing their concerns won't usually accomplish much, right? Say that again. If there are huge problems in the marriage and you're requesting the affair to end without addressing their concerns, it's not going to accomplish much, right? Because their concerns or their story about you at this point is so strong in their mind and in their heart and in their soul, it's either justifying what they're doing so they don't have to feel guilt or shame about it, or it's a defense mechanism to protect them from some kind of pain or unpleasant situation that they don't want to be in, that unless we address their concerns, our request for them to end the affair is not going to accomplish squat, okay? We need to address those concerns. If there are major problems in the marriage, then the first priority needs to be addressing those issues instead of focusing on whether the affair is over or not, okay? Mark says, I think it's okay to ask the affair to end, just that the expectations should be limited, okay? And we were just working with a client, I'll name him Richard, and Richard's wife was having an affair and leaving him for a younger man. And he kept pushing her for about 8 months to leave Richard, or to leave the other younger man and to come back to him. And she refused, to the point where she moved out and was living with her affair partner and would only see them on the weekends and sporadically. And Richard was super distraught, as is normal, right? But he kept asking her to like, leave this person. You need to honor your vows. You need to work on this with me and the kids. Like, you need to do this. And she was like, no, I'm not. I'm not happy. I'm not coming back. I like to be with this other person. He makes me feel important. He makes me feel valued. And you didn't. So I don't want to come back to you. And so as we worked with Richard, we helped him take that pressure off, right? To stop demanding that she end the affair and come back to him, and start to actually address some of her concerns. And some of her concerns was that he didn't listen to her and their parenting, that he coddled their children and always, like, you know, these kind of words always and never came up a lot, right? Like, you always do this, you never listen to me, you never make me feel appreciated, you never validate me, all these things, right? And so as we started to address those concerns, instead of just pushing for her to end the affair, then she started to hit that pause button. It's exactly what we talked about, right? Hitting that milestone of the pause. And she started to do this little bit of a teeter-totter effect. And she realized, there's something different about Richard. He's no longer asking me to leave the affair partner. In fact, as we go here into the next little part, the next milestone, he's understanding why I'm having this affair. He's actually validating my reasons why I left. Now, that part about validating someone is a really... we need to be clear about what that means. It doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. It doesn't mean that we're okay with what they're doing, or that we're excusing what they're doing or justifying it in any way. But we're saying, I see that this is true for you. Okay? That's what validation is. It's not saying that what you did was the right thing or that what you did was okay, because it's not. An affair is never okay. It's never the right thing. Okay? not in a healthy relationship. And so when you're validating someone, you say, I see that for you, you didn't feel appreciated, that you didn't feel valued here, that you didn't feel respected. I see for you that that's true, and I can understand why you chose what you did. That's not saying I agree with what you did, but I can understand why you did what you did. And as Richard did that, that lowered her defense mechanisms even more and caused that teeter-totter effect even more, right? And then brought on to the point where she was willing to want to work things out with Richard. The bottom line is, guys, if you're still married, you have the upper hand. I understand that it might feel like your spouse has all the control here, like they're calling all the shots, and that you're pretty powerless or hopeless here. And feeling like a victim, like there's nothing you can do, is really normal. It's really natural. But if you continue to stay in that place, it's not going to get you where you want to be, right? That's why we work you through these steps and this proven process that gets them to end the affair, okay? So, true to form here, within about 2 weeks, she decided that she didn't want to be with this other man anymore and wanted to work on things with Richard, okay? As we got to that milestone, she hit the pause button, she did the back and forth, and then she agreed, yeah, I actually don't think that this is the right thing to do. I'm considering what we can do here to work this out, right? I'm considering coming back to you. I'm considering the possibility of being happy with you. Then we go to step three, okay? As he stopped pushing for the marriage, pushing for the marriage to be saved and the affair to end, and actually started addressing those concerns that she had. She felt validated. She felt understood. She felt like the pressure was off. She was willing to hit that pause button and take some steps towards Richard instead, okay? Now that takes us to step three, which is protecting the relationship so it can heal, all right? This is all about creating healthy boundaries to protect the relationship, especially from any ongoing interactions with the affair partner. Now, I get it. A lot of you guys are like, healthy boundaries are scary. I'm afraid that if I put a healthy boundary, if I put my foot down about something, it's just going to push them back to that other person, or it's just going to backfire. And that's definitely not what we do here in step three. We show you how to set healthy boundaries that don't backfire, but actually create space for the relationship to heal and to help you both feel safe and secure as you move forward. And it is uncomfortable. Like, I'm not going to paint a fairy tale, right? It is a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. It's kind of like a wound healing. I've got a scab on my foot. That's gross. But it's like super itchy and it's nasty and it's super uncomfortable in this healing process. And so it's kind of the same way. Sorry, I always use medical analogies. I don't know if that grosses people out, but anyway. All right. So as you create these healthy boundaries, Mark says, if you are actively addressing issues within the marriage, then it's okay to make some demands, okay? Some healthy boundaries here to say, this is not okay. This is also not okay, right? If you want the affair to be over, then both partners need to be involved with communication of ending the affair, all right? And that's exactly what we can guide you on. I know that's a hard conversation to have, and so we walk our clients through exactly how to do that. But both partners need to be involved with the communication of ending the affair. And then steps need to be taken to cut off communication and contact from the affair partner completely, all right? It is never appropriate to maintain friendship with an affair partner if the marriage is to be healed. It's never appropriate to be texting, messaging, emailing, phone calls, face-to-face conversations, etc. Now, this might be a case-by-case kind of situation. What if their affair partner is their boss, right? You might need to have a good conversation about what are the options there. Is it an option to get a new position? If not, then how can we still have some healthy boundaries in this situation so that there is no longer any kind of communication, any kind of contact of any kind of friendship or romantic sort again between this affair partner? And there's things that we put in there that help you to feel safe and secure about that, okay? I'm reminded of a client, I'll change her name to Haley, was in this stage where her husband said, okay, I am willing to do this with you. I don't want to continue with this affair relationship. So what do we do, right? And so Haley had to put in some healthy boundaries, you know, about I need to check your phone, right? This isn't the hypervigilance kind of fear-based checking the phone. but it is a healthy boundary. I need to have really open, clear lines of communication here. And she described it kind of as Band-Aids, and it's kind of true. We often don't want to talk about like Band-Aids so much in saving a relationship or healing from an affair, but it's like a little bit of a bridge to get us from where we are to where we really need to be. And it's temporary. So in that way, a Band-Aid kind of works because it's like a temporary thing that we need to do to allow the wound to heal. And then eventually we won't need the Band-Aids anymore when we get to the place that it's no longer necessary to have those in place. And so for her, she had to put in those boundaries about no, you know, I need to check your phone and to make sure you're not texting or messaging or anything with this other person. You need to be home at a certain time, you know, those kind of things, and have some healthy boundaries there. And we need to be able to talk about this. I need to be able to express how hurt I am. I need, you know, we need to be able to do these things. These are the requests that she was making. And as she did it, it was uncomfortable. She was really afraid to put her foot down about certain things and really afraid that he was going to get super mad at her and super defensive. And as we worked through it, though, she realized that they were actually totally what they needed. And he actually felt more secure as well, which is a really interesting thing that often happens here. So then, as they were able to set those healthy boundaries in place, it got to the point where trust was restored. You know, time went on, and after the affair ended in the first 3 weeks, then we have this healing time where we need to put in these healthy boundaries to protect the relationship so it has the time and the space needed to heal. And then, just like with Haley, you still have step four. But I want to ask you guys, how great would it be to get to the place where you're, where Haley is, or was, I should say, because she's already through it, but, you know, where Haley was at that time, where you are able to put in some healthy boundaries, you are able to feel like you are able to be respected here, that your needs are able to be met, that you're able to feel more safe and secure in this relationship, and that your partner knows how to make it right. Not that you're ever going to really, like, fully make something like that completely right, but how to heal and move forward, right? Then you go to step four. And this is all about nourishing the relationship so it can grow. At this point, this is where we create kind of different kind of boundaries that allow the marriage to flourish, okay? Not just to heal and not just so much about protection, but allowing the relationship to really flourish and grow, okay? And we do this by creating time for you both to enjoy each other again and rebuild commitment and enjoyment of the marriage. So Mark says a big part of why affairs happen is because needs within the marriage become less prioritized or unmet. Did you hear that? A big reason or a big part of why affairs happen is because needs within the marriage become less prioritized or unmet. And that's the part, my friends, that we can take ownership of, okay? Boundaries need to be created surrounding the marriage to protect it from kids, jobs, other relationships, etc. And this is true for every relationship, right? Meaning there needs to be space carved for the marriage to be enjoyable again, a space for it to grow, a space for it to, you know, have connection again and to build friendship and to build respect and to build understanding and to actually enjoy spending time together and to rekindle what the relationship was, and now how it can be even better now that we've addressed the underlying root issues of what happened and what caused the affair to happen in the first place, right? And Mark says, even if it's awkward at first, which it's okay if it is, it's normal, it's natural, time together is needed to get to know each other and enjoy each other's company. There is no excuse. If it's awkward, then there needs to be a discussion to fix that. Okay, and having those really open lines of communication, we help our clients navigate those conversations and help you create that space together. There needs to be acceptance that things aren't going to be 100% at first. Ideally, there is a narrative built that awkwardness is actually okay and that you are working towards things becoming more enjoyable as a couple. All right, so raise your hand if your heart craves having connection with your spouse and having time where you're actually enjoying each other and time where you're actually able to address the awkwardness and address the broken heart and address all of these things that you're experiencing and all the things that your spouse is experiencing. And as we move through that, you get to the place where you can talk about anything and you know that you're safe, you know that you're secure, Your partner knows that they're safe. They know that they're secure and that you can be accepted for who you really are. And now we move you into commitment, which is where you let that story go about the relationship. They let their negative story about the relationship go, and you both want to work on the relationship together and be together and only together for the rest of your lives. And that is awesome, right? Yeah, I can see some of you guys are like, yes, that would feel amazing. I want that more than anything. She means more than anything to me. And so I can't wait for you guys to get there and share your story with me as well. So from everything I just talked about, I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think is going to help you get there the most? Really think about that. I asked you at the beginning, what do you think you need to end an affair? What have you learned now? What do you think is going to help you get there the most? More often than not, it's having a coach help you deal with the pain and the fear so that you can move forward in a healthy manner. Is it having the coach do that scientific assessment I talked about, that root assessment, so that your efforts don't keep backfiring, so you don't accidentally push your relationship further than it can handle right now, and you know what direction is best for your marriage and what is going to be effective at this point, right? Is it helping you ask your partner to end the affair and have it work in less than 3 weeks? So 3 weeks from now, they are no longer wanting to be with their affair partner. They are willing to end the affair for good, right? 3 weeks from now. Is that what you guys feel like you need? Is it, you know, showing you how to have those healthy boundaries that won't backfire? Maybe they already have ended the affair at this point, but you're still in this really awkward recovery stage, and you maybe haven't put in the healthy boundaries that you feel like you needed, and maybe they haven't worked in the way that you needed, and so you're still feeling kind of insecure, you're still feeling like, I don't really know how to move forward from this. Our relationship is kind of stuck in this stage where they have left the other person, but I'm still really struggling. If that's where you are, do you want help on how to set in some healthy boundaries so you both feel safe and secure as you move forward, right? Or do you feel like you need a coach to guide you on how to create that enjoyment in the marriage again, how to create that safe space to allow the relationship to nourish and to grow, even if it's awkward at first, right? So that you both actually want to spend time together and that awkwardness then fades away as commitment comes in and you're both wanting to work on this thing together. You both are happy together and all of those root issues that happened are now gone. So we can absolutely certainly help you with that. And if that speaks to you, if you're saying, yes, I feel like that is what I need. At the beginning, I had no clue what I needed, or I thought the other person needed to die. I thought I needed to lose weight and be the better option. I think we needed a divorce or whatever the situation was. Now, what do you feel like you really need? And if you're saying, yes, this is what I need. I need this process that's going to help end the affair in less than 3 weeks. Then I encourage you to book a free call with us to learn how to do this process in your own relationship. It's a completely free end an affair marriage assessment call. And you can do that at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. And as you talk to a coach there, you just tell them that you're talking about the end an affair in 3 weeks or less program. So that's highthrivecoaching.com/apply. I give you guys that link like every single week. Why? Because that's the best and the most effective way to get a hold of us. The bad news is that we do fill up very quickly, and so if we don't have spots open right now, then I'm sorry, you're going to have to check back until we do have some spots open again. So if that speaks to you, I encourage you to get that free assessment there of how to end an affair in less than 3 weeks, all right? End the affair in less than 3 weeks, create the time and the space after the 3 weeks to allow the relationship to heal, and then go to the next level where you're enjoying time together and you're nourishing the relationship. That's how the whole process works. You're not going to save your marriage in 3 weeks, right? You're not going to go from where they're having an affair now to absolutely blissfully in marriage and, you know, in love in your marriage, but you are going to be able to move forward with ending the affair in less than 3 weeks. Hope that that was clear. All right. So we can absolutely help you get there. And one of the beautiful things, you know, often you guys have heard some of our client testimonials. We've had multiple clients on here, including, you know, Leah and Venus and a couple others that have had affairs happen in their relationships. And looking back, one of the most beautiful things that they tell us is that the affair was one of the hardest things that ever happened to them, but they're so grateful for it, which I'm always just astounded when you guys say that. And I'm going to be astounded when you say it too, because you're going to be like, I'm so grateful it actually happened. Why? because it helped you become a better person. This is what our clients are saying in their own words. It helped us heal from all of those other things that were going on before the affair even happened that we didn't even look at or we didn't even really realize were going on. And we're able to heal all of those things. So now we actually have an incredible relationship, the kind of relationship we always dreamed about having, the kind of relationship I have always wanted to have. We have that relationship now, and it's so precious. And it's so important to you. And it's so incredible for your children to grow up with both of their parents together. And, you know, now looking back over the years, many of our clients have had multiple children now together after the affair happened, and they couldn't be happier. I just so honor and appreciate everyone that goes through this process and is willing to do it because it works and it's worth it. All right. So, now, after all of that, I hope that that was helpful for you. I'm going to be doing a masterclass on this as well on Friday here in the Thriving Marriage Facebook group. So I encourage you guys to check that out if you want to go a little bit deeper into ending an affair and a little bit deeper into these steps. So encourage you guys to check that out. But above all, encourage you to get that free session before spots are filled. All right, now going to the marriage mythbuster. You repeat your parents' relationship problems. All right. I'll admit I've subscribed to this one myself, and it's a little bit of a yes and no. It's a little bit of true and untrue, right? The reality is that we do tend to model what was modeled to us. We do tend to repeat what we learned as children, and that there are studies that show that, you know, if your parents fought a lot, you do tend to fight a lot. If your parents drank a lot, you do tend to drink. If there was infidelity in your parents' marriage, there tends to be infidelity in your marriage. If your parents were divorced, you do tend to get divorced yourself. So there is some evidence to this. However, are we strictly limited to only repeating what our parents did? No, of course not. The problem is that when we're in early childhood, we do pick up on these social cues. We do pick up on these relationship habits and these relationship quote unquote rules, right? That our parents had about the relationship. We think, oh, that must be true because we're young and impressionable and we don't know yet. And before the age of 7, we actually don't have any filter to decide if I want to believe that or not. We just take everything in. We're just coding everything into our subconscious mind. Everything is just being programmed and downloaded into our brain before the age of 7. And then it isn't until about the age of 11 or 12 that we start to decide, do I really want to believe this? Is this actually true for me? Do I actually want to accept that for myself? And then we go forward into adulthood, and then we can say, you know, that belief I picked up when I was 7 or when I was 4 and I saw my parents fighting about money, and now I realize I'm fighting about money with my spouse, maybe I don't need to believe that anymore. Maybe I don't need to continue that way anymore. Or maybe my mother's fear about my father's infidelity and his betrayal and all of her pain I saw her go through, maybe I don't need to do that myself. Maybe I don't need to believe that. Maybe I don't need to be the man that walks out on their family like my father walked out on us. Maybe I don't need to continue that. And so it's absolutely truth that just because our parents modeled a certain way for us, and that yes, maybe we picked up on some of this beliefs and some of this conditioning, we absolutely can choose some new beliefs and some new patterns and learn some new skills. So I always say this, but give yourself some grace if you haven't learned up until now how to have a good relationship. If it wasn't modeled to you by your parents, if it wasn't modeled to you in your upbringing, oh my goodness, how many times am I going to stumble my words today? My apologies, guys. I need to like go to speech school or something. All right. Upbringing, that you can choose a new path and you can create a new reality and a new future. And that is what drives me to do this work, is that we do not have to be defined by our past. We do not have to be defined by the beliefs that we've picked up on in life. We can choose to believe the truth of who we really are. And the truth of who we are is all the same. You are good enough. You are worthy. You are deserving of an incredible relationship. You are a piece of the divine. That is who you are. And that is the truth. We are all abundant. We are all creators. We all get to create reality. That is the truth of who you are. You are capable. You are smart enough. You are good enough. You are intelligent. You are beautiful. You are brave. You can do this. That is the truth of who you really are. And when you get rid of all the other crap that you put up in your brain and your parents put there, or whatever you chose to put there about whatever they did, then you can step into that creatorship and you can be the one that creates your life, and you have a state of peace and empowerment that comes as you step into that creatorship. And you know that no matter what happens to you, because it's no longer about what happens to you, it's no longer about what your spouse does or who they break your trust with, you know, who they go and have an affair with. It's no longer about what anyone else does or what anything outside yourself is, what any external circumstance is. You know that you are okay because you have the peace and empowerment that comes from within, and you have the security that comes from within, and all the things that you're wanting, the feeling secure, the feeling good enough, the feeling important enough, the feeling cherished, the feeling adored, the feeling of security, the feeling of safety, the feeling of love, an unconditional love, is already found within you. In fact, that's the only place that it really lies. And that is one of the most important things that I love helping clients uncover and get to that state. And when you're there, things outside you might not change as fast as you want, or they might change really fast, you know, with the right method, but everything inside you changes. And when everything inside you changes, then everything outside you changes just like that. And that is a powerful gift to give yourself and your family and your future. And so I encourage you guys to take some steps in that direction if it's calling to your heart right now. All right, so thank you for joining me today. And next week, hopefully we'll have our awesome Mark Johnston back here for another podcast episode. But my heart, my love, my appreciation flows out to you guys, and we'll talk again very soon.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.